Hello, my friends. Welcome to the Night Tales Creepypasta podcast. You can also watch these stories with visuals and extra content on my YouTube channel, and I strongly encourage you to subscribe while you're there. Now, here comes today's story. I hope you enjoy it. I didn't think much of it when I got the job. The ad said, "Overnight cashier needed. No experience required." It sounded easy enough. Sit at a counter, ring up a few late-night snacks, maybe mop the floor once in a while. And with rent due and my bank account screaming for help, I didn't exactly have options. The convenience store, tucked just off a long stretch of highway, felt like it belonged to another time. The flickering neon open sign cast an eerie green glow, and the paint on the walls had long since faded into a sickly grey. When I arrived for my first shift, the manager was already waiting, a wiry man with thinning hair and a nervous energy that felt contagious. "You're late," he said, glancing at his watch even though I wasn't. "Sorry," I muttered, brushing off the unnecessary apology. He waved me inside without another word and led me through a quick tour. The register, the mop bucket, the break room, the usual. But then we stopped at the counter where a small wall-mounted display of security monitors hummed softly. There were four screens, each showing a grainy black-and-white feed of the store, the front entrance, the aisles, the stockroom, and the parking lot. "That's your station," he said, pointing at the monitors. His voice dropped like he was about to say something important. "And one rule, just one." I raised an eyebrow, waiting. "Don't look at the monitors for too long." "What?" I laughed a little, thinking he was joking. But the look in his eyes stopped me. "I'm serious," he said, his voice low and trembling. "You can glance at them if you have to, but don't stare. And whatever you do, don't focus on what's moving."
"What's moving?"
"You'll see," he muttered, already heading toward the door. "Or you won't. Just do your job and keep your eyes on the floor." Before I could ask any more questions, he was gone, leaving me alone in the dimly lit store. The first few hours were uneventful. A couple of truckers stopped by for coffee and snacks. An old man shuffled in for cigarettes. The usual late-night crowd. I tried to pass the time by fiddling with my phone, but the spotty signal out here made that a frustrating endeavor. Eventually, my eyes drifted toward the monitors. The grainy feed seemed harmless enough at first, empty aisles, a flickering street lamp in the parking lot. But every so often, one of the screens would glitch, the image warping into a mess of static for just a second before returning to normal. I caught myself staring too long a couple of times, and the manager's warning echoed in my head. "Don't focus on what's moving." But there was nothing moving. At least, that's what I told myself. It was around 2 a.m. when things started to feel off. I was restocking some shelves near the back of the store when I heard the faint chime of the front door. I peeked around the corner, expecting to see a customer, but no one was there. When I returned to the counter, I glanced at the monitors. The front entrance feed showed the door swinging shut like someone had just left, but the parking lot was empty. I shook it off. Maybe the wind had caught it, or maybe I was imagining things. Still, I couldn't shake the uneasy feeling crawling up my spine. The glitches on the monitors seemed more frequent now. The stockroom feed would blink to static every few minutes, and the aisle cameras flickered in and out like they were struggling to hold the signal. At one point, I thought I saw a shadow move across the screen, but when I checked the aisle in real life, it was empty. "Faulty cameras," I muttered to myself, trying to sound convincing. By 3 a.m., the uneasiness had turned to dread. The glitches weren't random anymore. They seemed intentional, like something was trying to draw my attention. On the monitor, showing the back aisle, I saw a row of cereal boxes tumble to the floor. The sound echoed seconds later, confirming what I'd seen. But when I walked back there, the aisle was untouched, every box perfectly in place. I felt my stomach twist as I returned to the counter. The monitors buzzed softly, their dim glow lighting up the otherwise dark shop. I told myself not to look, but I did. And I swear, for just a brief moment, I saw someone standing in the parking lot on the monitor. The screen flickered again, and when the image stabilized, the figure was gone. I rubbed my eyes, telling myself it was probably a trick of the light, or maybe the long hours were already getting to me. Still, I couldn't help but glance at the monitors again. The parking lot was empty now, as if nothing had ever been there. But the uneasiness lingered, growing heavier with each passing minute. The sounds started not long after. At first, it was faint, barely noticeable over the hum of the store's fluorescent lights. A soft tapping, like fingertips drumming against glass. I froze, my eyes darting to the front door. Nothing. Then it came again, louder this time. Tap, tap, tap. It was coming from the stockroom. I grabbed my phone and turned on the flashlight, forcing myself to walk toward the back of the store. Every step felt heavier than the last. The tapping continued, steady and rhythmic, until I reached the door. "Hello?" I called out, my voice cracking slightly. No response. The door creaked as I pushed it open, revealing rows of shelves lined with boxes. The air was colder here, and the faint smell of damp cardboard filled my nose. I scanned the room with my flashlight but saw nothing unusual. The tapping had stopped. I turned to leave, but something on the edge of my vision caught my attention. Mounted high on the wall inside the stockroom was a smaller, older set of monitors, grainy and flickering. They mirrored the setup by the counter in the shop area, showing the same four camera feeds. I froze. On one screen, I saw myself standing exactly where I was now. But something was wrong. The version of me on the screen wasn't moving. They were standing completely still, facing the camera, their head tilted slightly to the side. I spun around, expecting to see someone behind me, but the stockroom was empty. When I looked back at the monitor, the feed had returned to static. I told myself it was just a glitch. It had to be, cameras malfunction all the time, right? But the pit in my stomach told me otherwise. I went back to the counter, trying to keep my focus on anything but the monitors. I checked my phone, cleaned the register, even reorganized the candy bars. But no matter how hard I tried, I couldn't ignore the feeling that something was watching me. The next time I glanced at the monitors, I saw movement again. This time, it was in the aisle closest to the counter. A figure stood at the far end, just out of range of the overhead lights. They weren't moving, just standing there, barely visible in the grainy black and white feed. "Hello?" I called out, my voice trembling. The figure didn't respond. I grabbed my phone flashlight and stepped into the aisle, but by the time I got there, it was empty. I turned back toward the counter and stopped dead in my tracks. On the monitor, I could see the figure was still there, but now they were standing in the aisle close behind me. I ran back to the counter, heart pounding. When I looked again, the monitors were normal. The aisles were empty, the parking lot was quiet, and the stockroom feed showed nothing but stacked boxes. But now I couldn't shake the feeling that something was off, wrong. It felt like the cameras weren't just showing me the store. They were showing me something else. I thought about the manager's warning. Don't focus on what's moving. What did he mean by that? What was he so afraid of? I stared at the monitors, trying to make sense of what I'd seen. The screens flickered again, and for a brief moment, I saw the stockroom. But it wasn't the stockroom I knew. The shelves were warped, twisted into impossible angles. The shadows were deeper, almost alive, and faint shapes moved within them. And then I saw it. On the monitor, in the warped version of the stockroom, there was someone standing where I'd been earlier. It was me. But this version of me wasn't moving. They were staring straight at the camera, their head tilted slightly, a wide, unnerving smile stretched across their face. I couldn't stop staring at the warped, smiling version of me on the monitor. It wasn't just the smile. It was the way they stood. Too still, too deliberate. Their head tilted slightly, like they were studying me just as much as I was studying them. And then they moved. The doppelganger stepped forward, closer to the camera, their eyes fixed directly on me. I stumbled back, my heart hammering in my chest, but I couldn't tear my gaze away. The monitors flickered, and the static grew louder, crackling like a swarm of angry insects. Suddenly, the fluorescent lights above buzzed and dimmed. The air around me grew colder, and the shadows in the aisles twisted unnaturally, curling like tendrils of smoke. Something was changing, but I couldn't make sense of it. When I glanced back at the monitors, I realized it wasn't just my doppelganger. The other feeds, parking lot, aisles, stockroom, all showed movement now. Figures, distorted and half-formed, lurked in the corners of this warped version of the store. Their bodies shifted unnaturally, limbs bending at impossible angles, faces melting into grotesque shapes. And then my doppelganger reached for the camera, fingertips pressing against the lens. I felt a gust of wind sweep through the store, rattling the shelves and sending loose wrappers skittering across the floor. The lights above me flickered violently. The static on the monitors grew deafening. And then there was a flash of light. When my vision cleared, the store around me was no longer the same. I found myself standing in a warped, twisted version of the store. The aisles stretched endlessly into the dark, their shelves lined with products I didn't recognize. Rusted cans, broken bottles, things that didn't belong. The creatures I'd seen on the monitors were here now. They moved between the aisles, their bodies shifting and flickering like bad reception. One of them turned its head toward me, its eyes hollow pits of static. I stumbled back, tripping over a pile of boxes that weren't there before. My heart raced as I turned toward the monitors. They were still there, mounted on the wall, but the feeds showed something else. It was the store as I'd known it just moments ago. Calm, quiet, and unchanged. My doppelganger was behind the counter now, ringing up a customer. They moved with an eerie familiarity, mimicking every gesture I'd made earlier in the night. And then they looked at the camera, not at the monitor. At the camera. At me. The smile never left their face as they waved a casual goodbye to the customer and went back to pretending they belonged. I stared at the monitor, my chest tightening. They were there. Standing where I was, being me. And they didn't even look out of place. Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed the story. And remember, there's a new original story coming out next Friday. If you did enjoy it, and want to support the podcast, please don't forget to subscribe to the YouTube channel. You'll find the link in the show notes. The Night Tales Creepypasta podcast is available on most major podcast platforms, including Spotify, Amazon, and Apple Music. That's it for this week. Thanks again, and see you next time.